At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a brand new episode of The Wrap right here on the Fight Game Media Network. Happy Wednesday morning to you all as we're back here recapping the week so far in WWE as we get ready for our next major PLE, which is Halloween Havoc, going down on Sunday, October 27th. I'm Keela Cash, and by my side, as always, is my co-captain, my right hand, the sometimes advocate for the rapidly improving Ms. Jada Parker from NXT on the CW. I bring to you back on The Wrap, as always, the one, the only, Salty Scott Young. Welcome back, Salts.
Thank you for having me, Keela. As always, it's a pleasure to chop it up and talk all things WWE. I'm excited about the conversation we're gonna have today. It's gonna be a good show.
It is going to be a good show. And I do want to do a quick trivia note for our listeners out there, because Scott was making some bold claims on the air about one little Bronny James. And I want to know how many points he put up for his second preseason NBA game.
I don't think he put up any.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I win.
But I will say this, though. I did watch both games, and offensively, he's not there, but I will say defensively, he's ready. Like he's ready to be on a roster, to be out there defending guys. He's physically ready. He's physically stronger than a lot of those guards out there that he's playing against, at least the ones that he's playing against right now. Offensively, he's got to figure out what he wants to do. Does he want to be a spot up shooter? Does he want to be somebody that's going to penetrate and attack? He just doesn't seem confident in either one. So he just needs to figure out what his role is going to be. But defensively, I think he's ready.
Yeah, got some figuring out to do in terms of, like, you know, what kind of player he wants to be. Mm-hmm. And that's the growing pains of being an NBA rookie. He'll get there in time. And we know that shadow is very big, but I think you'll overcome it in due time as well. So we'll wait and see. But I just wanted to put you on the spot because you made some brazen claims on this here air that I had to make you account for right back here for our listeners out there. So, you know, I have to hold you accountable when you try to cap on me.
The King had 19 points in 16 minutes.
I don't care. I do not care.
So technically, as a father-son duo, they had 19 points. So
No. You don't get to do that. You don't get to pat his son's scores with his dad who did all the work. No, you don't get to do that.
He had three blocks his first. He had two blocks.
That don't count. We're talking about points, not blocks. Not steals, not rebounds. We're talking about points, and he had zero.
It's okay.
Not one.
He contributed in other aspects of the game.
Okay, that's the excuse you're rolling with. So when he hits a triple single, then you'll have that discussion again. Like, he gave his effort. He did one, two, and three in that order.
Hey, if he gets a block, knocks down a three in transition, changes the momentum of the game, throws a lob to his dad. Hey, he did everything he was supposed to do.
Okay. All right. Scott will make anything sound good, even a triple single, but I digress. But let's get
all
to...
All in one play.
Not in one play. That will not be happening at all. Maybe in the G League it'll be happening, but not in an NBA game this year.
He gonna hit a three. You block somebody. Bring the ball down and throw a lob to his dad on the fast break.
That would not be happening.
That's happening.
No. Not in that order. Not in that order.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. At some point during this 82-game season, he's going to hit a three. They're going to get some type of stop. He'll block a shot. And he's going to get in transition and throw a lob to his dad.
We're going to save this recording.
Yeah, say clip this. That's going to happen at some point in the next 6 months while the season's going on.
We're going to reconvene in March and see what happens if that actually goes down. And if he's wrong, if my co-captain's wrong, he will be held accountable by wearing a Steph Curry jersey on the air. Yes, he will. Yes. No. Yes.
You're going to have to AI that thing on me, because I'm going to tell you what. Won't be no Wardells touching this body.
Oh, my gosh. All right. All right. Well, enough NBA talk. That will pick up when the season starts in a couple of weeks. But let's talk about a very serious topic that Scott has been thinking about for the last week or so. And we couldn't do it last week because NXT was going live on the CW for the very first time. Exciting moment for the brand. But we want to talk about something that has really hit the wrestling Twitter sphere over the last few weeks. And that is about Black representation in WWE, specifically Black men not main eventing or not being on a PLE this year in a prominent role, which is a fact. And we see that not being so true when it comes to NXT, which reflects a lot of diversity for all of their PLEs, which is very nice to see. But there is a disparity when it comes to that very same presentation on the main roster. And we're not saying that that assessment is incorrect because it's true, but the narrative is a little bit slanted at the exact same time. But also, we're going to circle back to what Paul Levesque said during the press conference this past Saturday following Bad Blood on Peacock about not seeing color when it comes to making these decisions as to who will be on these PLEs in prominent spots. And we got things to say about that as well. But this is Scott's baby. This is his core topic, and he's going to give us his thoughts right now. And I piggyback on that whenever he is done dropping the boom.
You know, no boom. Definitely not one of those Costco guys. we'll be doing none of that. Nah, but seriously, I actually want to start with the Triple H quote, because I think he got it all wrong. And everybody's been talking about the Brandy thing, so I'll leave that, the Cody Rhodes thing, alone. And I mentioned that last week. But as far as the quote goes, you know, I don't see the color. And I do believe he probably does book like that. But at some point, you know, you do need to recognize and kind of be like, all right, let me see what's going on. Who can I elevate? Keila, you've talked about Montez for a while. And, you know, representation is something that is so important. And we talk about it all the time. And, you know, us being a WWE show, we spent a good portion of a few shows talking about Swerve and Mercedes Moné and how important that was for those two to be champions over there. And you could see the difference. You could see how the culture really embraced Swerve, and you could see how he's taken it to a whole nother level and him being a face of that brand going forward. And when you look at the WWE side, you know, especially with the men, it's like, who do you have over there? Who is that same guy over there? And to their point, like you mentioned, they don't have that guy. They got guys that are in the waiting who will be that guy. They have guys in the pipeline. I think as we were recording this, the NXT show, it's very evident that there's a lot of culture on the way, men and women. It goes. I feel like the bad faith takes that we have right now, because yeah, there is something to it, but no one's been bringing this up for when WWE was high, when they were going through all, no one was talking about this, you know, nobody was bringing this up. But once it became a narrative, once it became something that they could use against Triple H in particular, it seems like, and you know, and I've talked about this specifically, they're using Triple H the wrestler as a way to bash and knock Triple H the booker. And I think they're two completely different monsters. Triple H, the wrestler, was a nasty dude. Did whatever he felt like he needed to do to stay on top. And maybe he did. And the whole Booker T thing, inexcusable. But that's him, the wrestler. Him, the Booker? How can we say that when we've seen him with the book? Like, he made Keith Lee the first double champion, the guy. Like, we've seen him push multiple people of color, like, throughout the brand. Like, there's a few white people who he's, if we're just keeping it a buck, there's a few white people who he's, like, really behind. The Undisputed Era, no doubt. But the rest of the show, there's a lot of multicultural going on through there. There's a lot of, there's black men up and down the card. Like, I just don't understand where or why the narrative would start when there's a lot of color on the card. And me as a biracial person who looks white, I definitely understand how I look. I understand the type of difference that I look, that my sister looks. You know, I get all that. But I'm very pro, hey, we definitely need the representation. We need somebody who looks like that. We need somebody who looks like Swerve at the top of the card. We need somebody who looks like Big E, who looks like Kofi Xavier, all different looks. Montez, Angelo, all different looks. Lashley. Like, we need all that. Oba, Omos, these guys. Like, we need all that. But at the same time, there's a lot of culture on the show. You've got Damian Priest, who just came off a long title run. You've had R-Truth, who just had an incredible moment at WrestleMania. Like, is he not black? I mean, he's not in the main event, but let's not act like he's not been a prominent part in main event storylines. He may be the goofball, but this guy has been a part of the show consistently. The New Day is a part of the show consistently. People want to talk about the PLEs. I'm going to tell you one thing. The PLEs are not. They're not all white. Like, there's color all on the show. And as much as I'm a proponent of black men getting the shine and getting the attention they deserve, like a Montez Ford, hell, like an Angelo Dawkins getting a singles run, let's not call this man a racist. Like, that's essentially what it's boiled down to. They've taken the MVP comments or the Twitter likes where, you know, somebody says something about he doesn't know how to book black men and, you know, taking it as him being racist. And even MVP's like, I never said that man was a racist. I don't know that man on that level. I just said the way he books. Like, I do believe him when he says he doesn't see color, but I just think he's wrong in that aspect, and that you just need to be able to read the room and be like, yeah, maybe I'm missing something here. I'm missing an aspect of the culture right here. Cause you get it with the women. You got all kinds of women on, like, it's all shades of colors on the women's scale, but on the men, there's an argument to be made. But using this narrative that this man is a racist is crazy. Like, let's not act like there's 40 black men on the roster. Let's just keep it a buck. Let's just keep it a buck when we're talking about this stuff. Let's just keep it 100 and lay everything on the table. Let's not act like there's 40 black men on the roster. There's Kofi, Xavier, Montez, Angelo, and that's a whole nother issue. But we know that there's a ton in the pipeline. We saw a lot of black excellence tonight on NXT as we're recording this on NXT. But again, to call this man a racist when we've seen the way he books, when we've seen him just book whoever's hot, we've seen him book a dominant black champion, it falls flat for me. And, you know, I'm one to call that out. And, you know, and that's why I wanted to have this conversation with you, because, you know, if I'm missing something, if I'm being blind to something, I know you'll call that out too. I just feel like this is something that people are using. And I genuinely think people are using Triple H, the wrestler, and the nasty things and the real cutthroat way he was, and thinking he's still that same guy when he's genuine. I believe that. I just think he's wrong. What he said was wrong. And I think sometimes you do need to read the room. But what I do believe is that this man is not a racist when it comes to booking his shows.
Labeling somebody a racist is a heavy thing to do. It is brazen. And I'm not going to call Paul Levesque a racist because I don't think he's a racist. And I do agree that when he was the wrestler in WWE at his peak, he was cutthroat. He did some underhanded stuff to stay on top. We know about the stories of him and The Rock as they were ascending at the same time, jockeying for position, feeling threatened by that. I don't think it was ruled by race. It was ruled by power and control and domination in a lot of ways. Of like, I want to be the top guy and it's not going to be you. And he had to share the spotlight. And when Rock was gone and Stone Cold was gone, we saw that reign of terror that went from 2002 to at least 2005. I lived through it. It was not pleasant. I remember the Booker T angle from WrestleMania 19. I was disgusted by it. There were controversial elements of Triple H's reign of terror that sticks out. Even the blackface with DX, it is a stain on his legacy that happened, that it made the air. But I'm not going to call this guy a racist. I think there are elements of what he does as a booker that provides a blind spot in some areas, such as him saying, I don't see color. You should see color. You should see the value of your talent, and you should understand their experiences and stories and see what you need to do to course correct. As you said, NXT is cultivating the future that features a lot of talented Black men and women who are going to be on the main roster in the next 2 to 3 years. If we circle back on this show 3 years from now and the same disparities are taking place, then we can have that conversation of what is going on. I will not call this man a racist, but I will question the booking and the diversity that we're not seeing 3 years from now when you're building that foundation via NXT, which is so diverse. It's so beautiful. It's so many talented people of color who are being pushed in the main event. Heat Wave was a melanated show. Up and down the card, all of their shows feature talented Black people. That's undeniable. So Shawn Michaels is doing his thing. He's cultivating the talent and getting them ready for the main roster. And it is on Paul Levesque to take the talent that he is given and push them accordingly. Now, let's not sit here and pretend that Vince did not completely botch Keith Lee on the main roster, because Triple H pushed that guy on NXT. He was a double champion, as Scott said. He laid the foundation for a Keith Lee to be the next guy up. It wasn't like that guy was on the main roster back in 2019 and he floundered. He was over for like a month or so, brought back down to NXT. You thought the momentum he had would translate to the main roster. It did not. Vince effed it up. That's reality. And a lot of stuff was out of Triple H's hands. A lot of things he built up, Vince tore down, and some of those people happen to be Black. That's a reality. So you have to really look at what Vince did that really kind of stunted the momentum of Black guys on top in WWE. Look at Swerve. Look at Hit Row. Look at that prime example of what he destroyed back in 2021 when they got cut. So once again, Triple H laid the foundation on NXT before NXT became 2.0. That's a fact. Now, my beef with Triple H is the Montez Ford effect, dating back to last year's Elimination Chamber. When a guy has a breakthrough performance like that, you push him, you build on that. He did not do that. And my concern is, in this business, I don't want Montez to get his flowers at 40 or 45 years old. He's in his 30s, in the prime of his career, can still do incredible things, has charisma and talent for days. I see it for Dawkins too. Both guys can thrive as single stars to give you a starting point of what you need to do when Melo's ready, when Trick is ready, when Oba's ready for that ascension to the main roster, and also continuing to find talent elsewhere as well as you get ready for the Javon Evanses to make that jump to the main roster as well. So you have the tools. You have what you need to do in order to destroy this narrative that's out there. But what I am not going to do is call this man a racist. But what I am going to do is call him out when things don't look right. in terms of what you need to do to properly push your talent across the board. NXT is a template. It is the example you should follow. It is there for a reason. And if you don't act on that when those talents are called up on your order in the next 2 to 3 years, then I will be looking at you a certain way and wondering, what are we doing?
Well, the one thing Vince did get right is he made Bianca Belair the star that she is. But he definitely gave her the rocket strap, and she took that rocket and grabbed a couple more and was like, I'm going to take these two, and I got it from here. So he did get that right as far as a little representation. He definitely always presented Bobby Lashley really well. So there's something to be said to it. Not necessarily that he's like, oh, he's a black guy, let me not worry about him. But it's just more like he's not seeing the same things that other people are seeing, like a Lashley. Even if you don't see a Lashley as a top tier guy, which he is, especially in that WWE format and the way he had been positioned and him essentially being the only guy who could go toe to toe with Brock. You know, you had your new Brock right there. He kind of should have been where you have your Braun and your Bronson Reed. He's full of Raw main events. He's a PLE guy. He's somebody Cody could have a nice feud with. Like, there was a lot of things that you just left on the table. People were clamoring for the Hurt Business versus the Bloodline. And that just never happened. Even when he took over, you had a chance to put it back together and you never did. So again, there's something to be said there. There is black men in the pipeline. He does have black women. He does make sure that there are black women presented prominently. Jade and Bianca are always somewhere on the show, which is important. Like, you always make sure to show your stars, to show them walking around. Naomi's always made sure to be featured on SmackDown in some way. And let's not act like it's a bunch of white women running around. Outside of Tiffy time, when it comes to SmackDown, it's a lot of color. It's different colors, different shades, but like there's a lot that Triple H does do as far as representation goes that nobody talks about, that goes unnoticed. There's a lot of cultures on the screen at once. And so, you know, I don't have a lot more to add. I just really wanted to kind of get that out there and just, you know, kind of kill this narrative that what the internet wants to say that this man is, and what the agenda they want to push of what this man is, based on how he used to be as a wrestler, when his booking is not that. Yeah, we still got a lot of work to do. But we don't have a team called Crime Time stealing people's things running around anymore. So we've made a ton of progress. Like, we're doing good. NXT is showing you what the future is, and the future is black. The future is melanated. So you might want to get with it. You might want to try to get into Wakanda, because once the gate gets closed, we're not accepting nobody else.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Not when the gate is closed, and the gate will be closed, and it will be locked.
You know that joint invisible too, so you won't even know where the gate at.
it shifts locations at any moment. You know, it's not going to be where it was at one point. It'll move and shift around. But everything you said is spot on. And, you know, we've had this conversation before when it came to AEW, and it was a fair conversation, too. It's not to say these conversations are not fair or reasonable, but what's the intent behind it? And leveling allegations of racism against Paul Levesque, that is a really serious thing to do. And you better have receipts to back it up. You got to have like proof, phone calls, text messages, emails to prove this man's a racist, to say, I don't push this person because they're black. Like, you got to prove that to me, point blank, period. There are areas of improvement. And as we keep saying, NXT is a template. Him and Shawn Michaels are working side by side to create this future vision for WWE. And hopefully it's going to be very melanated and talented and beautiful. And we're going to see talent flourish for years to come. And we're going to circle back on this conversation one day and see the progress report and see where things stand. But I will say that Paul Levesque is really plugged in on social media. He has burners. Let's not act like he doesn't. He reads the conversations. He's going to understand the narrative. And what I really hope is that he actually talks to his black performers. Sit down. Actually have that heart-to-heart conversation and kind of circle back to what he said about not seeing color and have that conversation and see how that resonates, because learning is an ongoing life experience. You can never not get enough education on what it means to be a black person in this country, in this world, and the experiences we have lived. And you need to listen to that and understand that. And maybe that will shift his perspective on how you should book, in terms of, let me think about it from this angle and let me view my talent for who they truly are by seeing them, seeing their blackness, understanding their blackness, and ultimately cultivating it for good.
Yeah, and I think he does, and I, to an extent, he brought Odyssey Jones in. Odyssey Jones was getting a nice push, and then that whole situation came, and he was like, "Nope, you're gone. We're not taking no chances on that." So, I want to circle back to this. I want to, you know, see what happens in like a year or so. Carmelo Hayes is somebody who's getting consistent TV time. He's having a best of series with another non-white person. So, like, I'm just saying, like, black men are on TV, and there's no doubt about it. We talked about it. That feud, that match should have been on the Bad Blood card. But, you know, I think it's just a lot of bad faith arguments. You know, we can move on. We can talk about NXT, whatever, but a lot of bad faith arguments. You know, I appreciate the space to let all this out. And, you know, I'm good now. I'm about to change my name to Perky Scott. I feel a lot better.
Well, that's good to hear. I love having conversations with you like this that are deep and that kind of hits the core of what's going on. And there are very intellectual and intelligent conversations going on social media about this very topic. And that's good to see. And then we have the bad faith hot takers who want to engagement farm for hits. And it makes no sense. And they do get that bump in terms of, I can just say anything and make it make sense when it doesn't. So I'm glad that we can have a very nuanced conversation that I think will resonate with the listeners, to let them know that, hey, we see the conversation. This is our take on it. And we will reconvene in a year and see where we are, because the template, as we keep saying, is right there. You got the playbook. You're working together in conjunction, and I'm talking about Paul and Sean, and we're going to see. And if we don't see it, don't think we're not going to come back here and talk about it, because we will, because we're going to be wondering to ourselves, what's really going on here?
Yeah. And yes, The Rock is black, but I'm not counting him. So when he main events WrestleMania, don't be saying you had a black man main event. We're not counting him. I'm trying to see a Kofi or Xavier if you're gonna give me a black man main event. But shout out to The Rock. I accept you, but we're not counting that.
Oh my God,
it's a whole another topic we can get into later.
You will be getting into that by yourself. I'm just gonna be sitting there like, whatever you say.
As a biracial man, I know exactly where I hate when people say that to me too. Like, did you? I I done experienced that. I done got picked on by the black men when I was little. I got picked on by white people. White people like, nah, dude, you black. You can't hang out with us. And black people, nah, dude, you white. You can't hang out with us. Who am I supposed to hang out with? Then I go see the light-skinned brothers. Come on, man. Just come on over here. You can sit right here in the middle. You just sit right here. And whichever one accepts you, just go hang out. You just wait right here, buddy.
Your struggle was so real. Oh my gosh. But you made it.
Oh.
You made it on the other side, and that's important.
I'm still in the middle. I haven't picked a side. I'll be picking a side. I'm still in the middle. Staying neutral.
I can say something really out of pocket, but I am not gonna do that.
I'm gonna tell you this. When my kids go to college, depending on what college they go into, that's gonna decide what race they are, okay?
Oh wow.
They got a quarter. They got a solid quarter because of me. So they
oh my gosh.
Depending on what college they want to go to is going to decide which one of those I'm checking, because we definitely getting a minority discount. Okay. I'm telling you that right now.
Oh my God. Well, listen, if Hillman was a real school, they can totally go. I'm just saying.
Might send them to Chase U. Definitely getting a minority discount for Chase U.
Oh my God. Okay.
I ain't seen a brother or sister in there yet.
Wow, the DeVry of colleges. You're going to send them to Chase U. Okay. All right. Well, that was a nice turn to make some lighthearted fun with this topic, which is always a good thing to balance out the seriousness. But let's get to a couple of shows from WWE. We ran down SmackDown during our Bad Blood review on Saturday night, live on YouTube. Let's dive into the highs and lows of Monday Night Raw going down live in St. Louis, Missouri. This was the first two-hour Monday Night Raw on USA until the end of this year. And I gotta say, I cannot believe I'm about to say this, but after Triple H figured out the third hour in the last year or so, God, they needed it back. Jeez, because it felt like the show was rushed. So many commercials. You wondered to yourself, how the hell are they going to fit this main event in here with Gunther and Sami Zayn for the World Heavyweight Championship, a major match with crown jewel implications. And we're just coasting through for 2 hours. Yeah, they need a third hour. And I don't want 3 hours on Netflix. I'll take 2.5. But yeah, they really needed a third hour. But I think if they figure out how NXT does it now on the CW, I think after this week, it'll be tighter for week two, even though it's taped already.
I didn't have a problem with it. I was cool with being done by 10 o'clock. You know, once I saw the anonymous one, I was like, word, we out of here. And honestly, like, I think we've become so accustomed in the Triple H era to long form matches that I thought it was a refreshing pace for Jay to have a decisive, quicker victory in his IC title defense. Like, that made sense. He doesn't need to be going 20 minutes with everybody. Mm-hmm. And Xavier Woods, as much as they've been building him up in the story, it's not like he's been a giant killer here lately. You know, if this had been coming off King of the Ring, okay, maybe. But he's been in his head a little bit. He's been kind of second guessing himself. Him and Kofi, they haven't been on the same page. So this makes complete sense for that match to be shorter. The women's thing, we'll get to that. That's a whole nother subject. We're definitely going to talk about that. But you had two women's segments. You knew you were going to get the long form Sami Zayn match. We had the hardcore or the Donnybrook match with Sheamus and Pete Dunne. So you knew those two were going to be long. This one was okay to be short. We had some promo segments. CM Punk needed time. You probably could have cut a little bit out of that. Seth Rollins needed time. This is where you use main event. Maybe instead of having a 10 women tag, you have like a 6 or a regular tag team. You give the other women a promo and then you have them on the main event. You get a hotter crowd. And you talk and you hype up main event. This is who we have on main event, because that's what you need to do when you're on Netflix anyway. You're going to need to promote your other stuff for the network. So I don't know. There's things you could have did, but I'm going to be honest. I did not mind being done by 10 o'clock.
Yeah, I mean, I like the earlier finish time too, but it's like the formatting of it was a little bit off, and like it makes you miss a third hour because there is more time to add content. And with Triple H having the book, like the third hour wasn't dragging anymore, which was good because I was going to sleep for like 8 of the 10 years we had that third hour. Like, it was boring. It was tedious. There was crap, fluff, shit on there that I hated. But in the last year or so, like, they finessed it. You had things to look forward to. It wasn't a slog to get through. But it's got to get the format together. Like, NXT tonight, which we'll get to momentarily, like, tight format, hard out. That's what I like to see. You had a structure. They're going to get it together. Like, he's going to get it together in a couple of weeks. I do believe that. And there were some very good things on this show, such as CM Punk coming out. He was going through it. Injuries after Hell in a Cell, his amazing match against Drew McIntyre, one of the best blood feuds in WWE in a very long time. We wanted to thank the fans for supporting him, the people in the back, which was a refreshing CM Punk take, saying it's an honor to work with people that he likes to work with and building those friendships and bonds once again in WWE. And then he says, thank the haters. Thank you, because you really motivate me to keep doing this as well. You fuel me. And then he says, I don't know what the future holds. I'm very tired. He said, I don't have another Hell in a Cell match in me. Didn't the first time when I said this a few weeks ago, but he's going to take a break, rest a while. I do love how he does stand on business when it comes to Crown Jewel. Like, the one show I'm not going to do is that one. So I do respect him for that. Like, he knows when to go on vacation, might do some moonlighting on NXT for a bit. I respect that about him. And we got who we think will be ultimately the WrestleMania opponent for him heading into next year in Las Vegas. Seth Rollins comes out in a normal fit by his standards. He laughs at CM Punk. He wishes him well in a very full way because he wants to kick his ass when it counts most, and calls out Bronson Reed for those 6 tsunamis, saying, yeah, you're famous now. I'll make you famouser when we're done. And we're looking forward to that matchup, however it may be, wherever it's going to go down. And overall, good opening segment to Monday Night Raw. But they need to be mindful that with 2 hours, every segment cannot be 20 minutes of talking.
So I thought this was one of the, I enjoyed this. I thought the Seth segment with the, and Jey Uso, I thought that was seamless. I thought that transitioned really well. Seth and his, it was very Shield-esque, the gear he had on. I don't know if that means anything, but it was very Shield-esque. And then when the Shield family, or the family of his former Shield mate, came out and they had their little stare down, I think that would be a very interesting intercontinental title match that Bronson Reed could ruin and just destroy both of them, or Braun Breaker. Like, there's a lot of, they got a lot of hosses running around right now. So the CM Punk one, like I said, that could have been cut a little bit, but I really liked the Jay Seth Rollins interaction as well. I thought that was really a nice touch, a little thing where if we ever circle back to that, that's a fun title match. And Seth Rollins is so high on the card where it's like, hey, he might mess around and take that title from Jay. So that's, I like that they did that. Nice little touch. This is a good way to open Raw. Bronson Reed is now established as a monster, and Seth Rollins has a goal that doesn't involve the title. So he's got something to do for a while.
Yes, good way to occupy your time for the rest of the year going up against Bronson Reed. It makes sense. And that was very interesting interaction between Rollins and Jey Uso, because we all know they had beef with the Bloodline and ultimately beef with each other at some point during the last 4 years or so. And it's good to know that has not been completely forgotten, as Seth also alluded to Cody aligning with Roman Reigns. So he also feels a way about that after what he did for Cody at WrestleMania 40 in that main event when Cody finished his story to become the undisputed WWE champion. Now, as Scott mentioned earlier, we had the Intercontinental Championship match between Jey Uso, the champion, and Xavier Woods. If you blinked, you probably missed a whole lot. It wasn't much of the match, nor should it be, because Xavier Woods is going through some things. He should not be in competitive matches right now when you're kind of on the slide with the New Day and you're questioning yourself and wondering, what can I do to break the cycle? I won last week against Rey Mysterio. He cheated, even though Scott says otherwise. So, you know, he cheated, please. And he lost in this match pretty decisively. But the key point was Braun Breaker. Braun Breaker, who we thought was going to be on the babyface fast track. Nope. That man got a fade and he says, I'm back. I am a heel. And he proceeded to spear Kofi Kingston, Xavier Woods, and Jey Uso twice. And now he's back to being a heel going after the Intercontinental Championship. And all I got to say to that is bloodline angle alert, alert, alert.
I don't know if he ever turned. I don't know if he ever officially became a babyface. And if he is a babyface, I don't see anything wrong with what he did right here. He attacked everyone. Like he laid them all. And because Xavier Woods is definitely the bad guy in this entire situation. He was like, oh, where are you going? Where are you going? You thought you was getting away? Nah, hold on. You wait right here and you hold this. So if anything, Braun came out as the babyface. Okay. He attacked the heel, the cowardly heel who was trying to scurry away at the end. Yeah. Braun's still the face.
No, he's not. Because last week...
we had a double turn.
Okay. So what we're getting is more turns than the Big Show. We're approaching that level of turns. Because Braun was out there last week so nice. He was so humble. He lied.
Yeah. As a heel should.
As he should. He lied. He was right. So humble. He was so sweet. He dapped up Jay. He got in Gunther's face, you know, acting like a badass baby face who ain't scared of nobody. And then this, we got that fade, got that cut, and then he decided to just spare everybody. That fade had him faded. That's what happened.
I think I'm going to tell you what I actually think happened is them Saudi people thought they was going to talk CM Punk into coming over, and he was like, what? Nah, what you mean? Y'all thought this was a game? Y'all thought this was a game over here? Bro, I am set. Y'all thought this was a game? Y'all thought I was going to face Gunther over there? Y'all better bring that man back over here to the Survivor Series, and I'll take him down over there. You better send Cody up there, because your boy not going.
Yes.
That's why Gunther's like, yeah, let me go back and get this title. I got to get some type of gold back on my waist, okay? Because this weight band ain't doing it. I need some gold. So, yeah, that's what I think happened.
Oh, absolutely. Like, VR season, like, going to get CM Punk and say, no, you going to get me? You're not going to get me? Like, that's the one thing.
Better go to sleep on that one.
That's the one thing I'm standing on business on. Like, I'm not going over there. And I respect that 100%. Not Gunther, like, doing the Denzel, I'm leaving here with something. I'm leaving here with something.
Hey, listen, say what you want about Gunther. Gunther, like, listen, man, the wife said I'm leaving with something. The wife said I'm going to get this bag. Okay, I get it. I'm with it. I'm sorry. I gotta go get this money.
I admire his hustle. I really do. I do. And I admire Punk's hustle to say I'm gonna be in Chicago that Saturday. I will see y'all the following Monday. In fact, I take it back. I'll see y'all at Survivor Series. That's where I see y'all at next.
Yeah. No. I'll be actually, you know what? I'll be at one of these Raws like 2-3 weeks before I cut a promo for you. But I'm gonna tell you where I won't be. I won't be on the Build the Saudi. I'm gonna tell you where I won't be. I won't be on the Build the Saudi.
One of the greatest Saudi dodges of all time was when Kevin Owens said, you know what? I need both my knees worked on. I need double knee surgery. I need them scoped out. I need them cleaned out. He says, what we're not going to do is that. I laughed.
Triple H was like, hey, Sammy, you want to win the title? You got to go to Saudi. Nah, you know what? I think I'm good. I'll just take the Raw loss.
Yeah, I'm good. You know, I've done my time.
I did mine. I'm good.
I got my hall pass back, which I appreciate. They let me do the gate, but I'm taking a little break this time.
Yeah.
With love, with respect, you know. Oh, that was a good start to Monday Night Raw, but the motivations behind a lot of stuff, I do respect people setting on business. I truly do. As we get to a match I predicted on this show recently, and the fact that I remember what the hell it was astounded me on this show. Like, oh my God, I remember what a Donnybrook is. And it was the old-fashioned Donnybrook between Sheamus and Pete Dunne. We had Sheamus's ancestors back on that desk thingy with the drawers and stuff. We had barrels. We had like whiskey sponsorship this time to make this legitimate. I couldn't believe it. We had big ass shillelaghs. We had cricket bats. And this was just brutal. Like Sheamus is on a run if you want this guy to go out there for 20 minutes and just beat the hell out of people, and he takes his bumps and bruises too, he's your guy. Dude went out there and said, you know what? Bad Blood was a show. Y'all could have put me on here too. And they went out there and they just went off. The white noise off the barrels through the table was ridiculous. Pete Dunne literally taking a drawer and swinging on Sheamus and cutting his elbow. That was ridiculous too. And then the creativity of Pete Dunne using a zip tie to tie Sheamus's hands behind his back, leaving him defenseless. He was kicking and kneeing him in the face. And then Sheamus just reconvenes, knee strike, bro kick with no hands to get the victory. I love this match so much. Sheamus is amazing in these matches that just allows him to go full bore. And Pete Dunne, he will be fine. Don't worry. But this is a reminder of, damn, when you need a great match for 20 minutes, you call on Sheamus.
Yes, this is a banger for sure. And Sheamus puts himself, at least to me, should put himself in line either for Jey Uso or at least for a match with Bron Breakker to go against Jey. Or you've always got the Gunther match, which you can go back to, and we know what type of classic they could put on. You know, honestly, I know everybody wants to see CM Punk versus Gunther at Survivor Series, but I think if CM Punk's not winning the Rumble, I think him beating Gunther at the Royal Rumble would work a little bit better to set up that title match versus Seth Rollins. Sheamus versus Gunther at Survivor Series isn't a bad matchup to go to, especially since you know the quality of the match you got. Sheamus is somebody who just picked up a huge win right here, so he's next in line. I would have said Braun Strowman would be next in line since he beat Bronson Reed, but he looks like he'll be out for a little bit with the torn groin. So I think you kind of have everything set up. You have CM Punk sit out for a little bit. Don't bring him back until the debut on Netflix. Makes that return feel that much more important. So this is a great, great win for Sheamus, and I am curious to see what he does next.
Me too. A lot of options that you laid out perfectly, and they all make sense. No direction is wrong for Sheamus if he wants to vie for the IC title or go after Gunther, which could be another classic right there for the World Heavyweight Championship. And we always have to remember the one championship Sheamus has been denied in his run in WWE is the Intercontinental Championship. I think he deserves a run with that title before he retires from WWE, but if you want a reliable guy to go out there and deliver banger after banger after banger, Sheamus is that guy always who's going to deliver, as well as Pete Dunne, who's exceptional as a wrestler. As we get to something that Scott alluded to earlier in the show, the menagerie of women, we had a 10-woman tag team match. And, you know, Paul Levesque, we got to do better. We got to do better than this. We got a cold faction. We got teams out there that are not quite over. We got Lyra who can get over. And it's just, it existed. I didn't care for it very much. And I'm going to need him to really focus on breaking down these feuds and trying to make them compelling. Because if you can't do that, you need to blow it up and try again.
I think the everyone getting the same walkout entrance was a bit egregious. I think this was more of a case of let me not make no excuse for that man. Yeah, you got to do better. You got to do better. Again, I don't think this is him saying, "Oh my God, I hate the women. I'm just going to do this every week." He messed up. He's got to take this on the chin. He blew it. Next week will be better. He's going to give you two solid women's matches, at least two solid women's matches next week. How many matches was on the show this week? I think it was four matches total on the show this week.
I believe so, if I'm not mistaken.
Four matches. So yeah, I think it, and that's why I said, like, this is when you back to 2 hours when you need to promote like your main events, your Peacock stuff, you know, and make them mean something more. Like, give some of those women a couple more matches on the Peacock. Like, why like Casey and JoJo. Why not have them have a nice tag team match on the Peacock? You know, a main event that you're going to show on Peacock or Hulu, whatever it's on. I just think, and then you give the Chitty Chitty Bang Bang crew a little bit more time to breathe. You give Lyra more time to breathe. There's a lot more you could do. So we'll see what they do next week. He fumbled the ball this week. It happens. Keep it moving. Again, let's not try to turn this into another thing. Now, he does it again next week. All right. We can come back. We can revisit this conversation. But I'm not going to trip over 1 week.
I'm not either. It's not a trend alert yet. If it happens again, we're going to have the same conversation that we're going to wonder what's really going on. But yeah, when you're trying to format a show that you're used to booking for 3 hours, mm-hmm. things are going to fall through the cracks. You think you can throw multiple feuds out there for one big match that not a lot of people are going to care about because some people are cold. That's the reality. And that's on you to build them up and give them a story that resonates. And hopefully that is something he thinks about moving forward. And if he's on burners, as I think he is, and you read that feedback, you will reassess and you will adjust accordingly. I like a guy that takes feedback and apply it to what you need to do to make your shows better and strengthen your women's division when it's not focused on the World Women's Championship. And you actually need to build challengers from this group of women. That is essential right now because Liv has no one. And I know she can't keep feuding with Rhea Ripley. She needs something else to do. And you have to build someone up in this division to do it.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't bank on that. This is definitely one of Triple H's. Let's let this one cook. We got another 6 months of build left in this one. I wouldn't be surprised if Rhea probably wins the Rumble. So, yeah. That's probably not happening. Maybe I could be wrong. And again, maybe that could have been, I want to make sure I get these women on the show. I messed up the format. I want to, like you said, I messed up the format. I want to make sure I get these women on the show. Maybe next week we'll see he actually has a plan and he lays some stuff out. So again, we'll see what happens next week. But this week, definitely, the entrances got me and I was like, yeah, this ain't gonna go over too well, my guy. You no. got everybody coming out at the same time, everybody getting their same name. Like, it would have been better off if you'd have just done all the entrances during the commercial and just came back like in mid-action. It had almost been better if you'd have did that instead of everyone doing the WrestleMania Divas Royal Divas Battle Royal entrance where everybody just comes out to some generic rock music.
Oh, those were the days of such.
Oh yeah, glorious days.
Oh my God, the theme music and everybody walks down the aisle and
shout out to Santina.
Oh God, not that memory. Jeez, see, we've come a long way and we don't want to regress. So let's just keep it pushing and hopefully some adjustments are made very soon. As we do now, just jump straight to the main event of Monday Night Raw. It was Gunther versus Sami Zayn for the World Heavyweight Championship. Great match, physical, bruising as always. People thought Sami could win if you want a champion to really represent heading into Crown Jewel to face potentially Cody Rhodes in that not champion versus champion match, but to basically be the Crown Jewel champion for the year 2024. I thought it was a great emotional battle. Gunther and Sami worked great together as they did at WrestleMania, and it was not Sami's night because he had to, go to sleep in order for Gunther to retain that championship, and he will be the one to face Cody Rhodes champion versus champion for the Crown Jewel championship at Crown Jewel.
Yeah, and that money that they didn't get to use on CM Punk, they will definitely be using on Goldberg because he will be giving Gunther a spear, giving Cody Rhodes the win, as Cody Rhodes will be your... Actually, maybe not, but Goldberg is definitely spearing Gunther in Saudi Arabia. I will call that because the bloodline will probably ruin Cody's day with that too. But yeah, so that's happening. As far as this match, this is a great match. I saw a lot of like, oh my God, this happened somewhere else when Sami kicked out at one and was going crazy. Gunther put that dude immediately in a choke and put him to sleep. Okay. So let's not act like he kicked out at one and ran the ropes and hit three hell of a kicks. he got put to sleep. Okay. He showed the spirit. He showed the fight. He was like, oh my God, I'm ready. Boy, where are you? Night, night. So that's how it should be done. You show that spirit. Gunther had a shocked look. Then he remembered who the hell he was and put that man to sleep. The ring general continues.
I love it. Makes sense. I vibe with it. And the main event needed to be what it was. You know, Sammy tried his best, and it builds the foundation for what we're going to get at Crown Jewel. I'm excited. You know, Cody made a cameo appearance on Monday Night Raw, suited and booted. And for whatever reason, they will not talk about the incident in the parking lot involving him and Kevin Owens. That will be aired on SmackDown. And I wonder what kind of footage they'll be using. Will it be the fan footage in Atlanta? Or will it be their footage trying to make it look like they weren't caught up in a fight? We shall see about that. But great main event to wrap up a pretty decent Monday Night Raw at 2 hours. No overrun, hard out at 10. And they'll get used to the formatting for sure in the weeks to come. They got SmackDown and NXT's templates, obviously. So we'll see where they go from here. As we speak to now, NXT going down live from the factory in St. Louis, Missouri. Scott said this show would be better than the premiere on the CW last week. And he was correct. I loved the setup for this show.
Oh, yeah.
Now, the setup was great. Mm-hmm. Crowd was great. Atmosphere was wonderful. Like, this is what I wanted for NXT in terms of presentation on the road. You don't need big arenas. I'm glad they actually downsized for this event because it felt intimate. The crowd was into it. These were true blue NXT fans, not the Vegas upset in Las Vegas. They didn't know what the hell NXT was. They was like, you know, sitting on their hands for battleground. No, this was true blue NXT fans in St. Louis, Missouri. They were hot all throughout the show. And I like how it was set up. I like how it was shot. It was a very cool experience. And I want them to pick venues like the factory moving forward that feel different from the PC, even though I know they're working on it. We'll see how it looks when they go back home next week, pending how this storm is going to go. Prayers to everyone in Florida, by the way. Prayers up. Protect yourselves. Be safe out there. And we'll see how the presentation back at the PC is. But yes, go on the road more often because that atmosphere last night was pretty special.
Yeah, and let's jump right into it. And I'm pretty sure that the executive producer, Paul Levesque, I must have been on his burner because a hell of a lot of melanin in that ring at the beginning of the show. Let me tell you that, okay? We had Wesley. He was in the crowd. I won't even count Jay, even though he invited to all the cookouts. So you could count him if you really wanted to. You had the face of the brand, Trick Williams. Okay. Then you had arguably the three most athletic people in WWE, all black queens. Okay. I mean, what are we talking about? What are we talking about? This dude heard what you said, heard each and every one of you, was like, oh, I don't have black men. Hold on a second. First segment of the show. Let's get it popping. And don't even get me started, because he said at 9 o'clock when we went head to head, oh, we got sexy red. We gonna save her for that after 9 o'clock hour. OK, so, yeah, don't play with that, man. Don't play with that, man. Okay. All right. I'm just saying. Great start, but it was a great start to the show. Trick and Wesley, that set up real nicely. Everything was good. Everything you said about the venue was spot on. Love the intimacy about it. Love the feel. NXT should feel different. It does. Great way to start the show.
Felt like a party. Trick Williams, you know, I'm going to be very direct when I say this. He had that shit on last night. Like, the fit was like perfection. Like, the threads, the color, like, that is melanated for the culture. Like, the fit was fitting. I'm here for it. Jay comes through. Wesley, first of all, like, I know we have not done this ever on this show. In honor of Fandango and Tyler Breeze, I need to issue a fashion police violation for whatever Wesley had on, because Trick had his shit on. What was this? You talking all that cash shit about I'm going to beat you for the championship, and you can't even dress like a legit challenger. You like you went to Old Navy and you put that shit on and try to get on Trick. Get out of here, Wes. And I like you and you stopped crying so much, but your fit was horrible.
That man went and robbed Kid and Play's old outfits. yeah, he ain't got no swag. He a rascal though, so you know he ain't been having his sessions, so that took all his swag away. He real straight edge right now. He don't know what to do with himself. Trick was definitely for the people, for the culture, and I guess he got a new hand gesture because he was whooping that Trick a lot. So that must be the new thing. So I can't wait to see the little 5 and 6 year olds whoop that Trick, mommy, whoop it, whoop that Trick.
Oh my
Trick.
Gosh. No.
Oh, it's what?
Oh yeah.
He about to have that crowd waving.
You know, if Triple H truly wants to be for the culture.
Here we go.
Whoop that Trick has been an American staple since Hustle and Flow. I'm going to need 3-6 Mafia to come through one time and remix Trick's theme song. I would love that. I need that. I need that in my life. I approve. But the children doing the hand gestures, that would be crazy. But what I also love, as you mentioned, was Jey Uso coming out through the crowd. And those kids were so hyped to see him. Yeah. It was so amazing. Like, oh, this is so sweet. And then they got out there, and then the St. Louis crowd was in unison. Like, they, like, created a new chant. Like, if Trick and Jey were ever to be a tag team, like, St. Louis was on rhythm saying, yeet, whoop that Trick. Like, and it was in beat. Like, go ahead, St. Lou. I was impressed. I love the segment. And then Bianca, Jade, and Kalani came out there, and we just had Melanation all in that ring to kick off NXT for the culture. Yes.
And they won.
Yes. And a very good match, by the way.
Real, really, really solid match. It was much better than the match we got on Raw. Mm-hmm. And everybody got a little chance to shine. I will say this, whatever the group, what is the group called? Fatal Influence, Fatal Attraction. We'll call them Fatal Attraction. I just watched that Sharon Stone movie for some reason. That was a waste of time. they got something. They're not the Mandy group. They're not the Toxic. But they definitely have something. I think they each bring something very unique to the group. And I like them as a dynamic. They are growing on me. But this is a really fun match. Great way to let the Queens get a win. And Kalani fit right in with everybody. Everybody did real good. This is a great way to start the show.
I agree. Very hot start. I enjoyed the match. Fatal Influence, they do have potential. They do like work well together as a unit, which I like to see. I'm very glad that Fallon Henley got new gear. Like, she finally stopped recycling the old gear she wore dating back to Battleground. Like, thank you. Appreciate you. So go there. But really fun match. Great hot tag by Jade at one point as well. Bianca Belair, I really enjoyed her NXT homecoming. And she showed out as always. Kalani Jordan had one of her better showings in the ring as well. So I thought that everyone just clicked. Fun match, hot crowd. And they went off all the high spots, which I really appreciated as well. And there are more highlights from NXT as well, as we'll get to right now. So, I made a prediction on the show last week that Tony D'Angelo would dethrone Obafemi and become the new NXT North American champion because Oba was about to break the record for the longest run as NXT North American champion. And I said, well, if he does that, he's not going to win on Tuesday. Who was right? Thank you.
You were right. You got that one. You did make the correct call. It was a great match.
It was. I thought it was better than what they did at The Last PLE.
Oh, yeah.
By a lot. Like, I felt like Tony D, either he was hurt or they got tired and he was wrestling a little heavy. Not so much here. It was a very good match. Great power-based wrestling by both guys. The story of Rizzo taking the bump and then Tony D snapping into suplexing Oba on the floor. And then we had the great spot when he spine-bustered Oba Femi through the announce table. And it wasn't over. Like, that was crazy. Like, the spots they were kicking out of, it could have went either way. But then Tony D rose him up for the leverage pin to become the new NXT North American champion. Great win for Tony D. He's coming into his own as a guy that I think has such a bright future on the main roster. I don't know if this gimmick is going to be it for him, but he does a great job with it. I think that he is one of the great success stories from NXT 2.0 3 years ago. And yes, it's been 3 years. He's been in the system and he's improved so much. And you see it via his work in the ring. The character is one dimensional, but he makes it 3D via his personality. And the crew is the crew. Congrats to them all. And Oba Femi, dude's next in line for like the NXT championship. I do believe that for him as well, because I think he'll be the setup guy for Trick to move on up to the main roster no later than after Stand and Deliver next year, heading into WrestleMania.
So that's your Stand and Deliver winner right there, Oba Femi.
Yes.
And I also think that Tony, I think his character will work because they don't have, like, it's so real. They've so, like, made it into so much realism right now that a character like that will stand out in a good way, I think, because he's a lot more watered down than when he first started. Now, when you move up to the main roster, you can't just drop bodies in the ocean anymore. Like, you'll go to jail for that. You're not protected like you are in NXT. So, you know, and if you've noticed, since they've gone on the road, he hasn't dropped any bodies. You're only protected in that Florida area, Full Sail. It's the only place you're allowed to drop these bodies off. But yeah, I think the gimmick will work. And I think he's a really good enough wrestler. The fire I've always talked about when it comes to Tony D is that babyface fire that he's got. And he showed a lot of it tonight. And, you know, people will talk about the roll up pin for a guy like Oba. Let's not act like Tony D'Angelo is Evans on that roll up, you know, especially when he's stacking him. That's a big man you got stacking him. That's a wrestler right there stacking him. And not only did he stack him, he made sure to put his hands all the way down and was leaned on top of him. So he had all of his weight over. Little things like that added to it. This is probably my favorite match of the week, man. I thought this was excellent. I loved every minute of this.
Ooh, man, I am conflicted because I am torn between that match and the Donnybrook on Monday Night Raw. Those are my two. And of course, Gunther and Sami Zayn for the World Heavyweight Championship. Those are three really good matches on television in the last, 24 hours. So hard pick there, but great match. I'm happy for Tony D'Angelo. Oba Femi's got next. He's been an exceptional champion. All of his matches, for his level of experience as champion, has been very impressive. And he's fought all kinds of guys, big guys, small guys, technicians out there, bruisers. He's done it all. And I'm very impressed by him. A bright future in WWE. And we're going to be looking at Paul Levesque in like 2026. So Oba Femi is not World Heavyweight Champion. Explain yourself.
Well, but that will be the narrative, though. Don't get it twisted. That will be, even because he should be in NXT for a couple years, running that place for a couple years. But it will be, oh my God, they don't have Oba on SmackDown right now. Oh my gosh. Yeah, that 100% will be what's pushed, because he should spend a couple years in NXT running that place.
Yes, 100%. So give him that year plus run there, and we'll see you in 2026. And by 2027, we'll reconvene. And if he's not a World Heavyweight Champion, I will be giving Paul the stank eye. Like, what are we doing? Stop playing with this man. You cultivated a monster and a legit bruiser from the roots up. Don't play with me.
While we keep playing, CW might mess around and get scooped up by NXT might get scooped up by another network. Then you got to keep Oba on NXT.
Oh, Lord. Now listen. He cannot be a 10-year vet on NXT. Oh,
They about to get scooped up by BET, by OWN.
What?
Not by BET. OWN.
Not OWN. Not Oprah's network. What?
By OWN. The Wait a Oprah minute. Winfrey Network.
Wait a minute. Oprah. Wait a minute. Oprah getting in the wrestling business would be insane. First of all, like, she gonna drop coin. Like,
oh, she would. And she would spend some money.
Like, she said, listen, Tyler Perry,
and she's
left
gonna
me.
Pick the blackest show she can find.
She will, because they're going through some things right now. She said, I lost Tyler Perry. I lost the bag. I lost my savior. I need some blackness on my show. NXT, what you doing? I'll pay you double what the CW is paying you.
That'd be nasty work, because I don't know what I'd do, because that'd be nasty work.
It would. It would. And OWN is owned by Discovery. So,
oh,
I don't know.
Connection than I thought there.
Yeah. Now, the question is, will they still be self-owned by then? Because they might splinter off and be sold to someone else. For all I know, Comcast could buy them in the next 2 years. So you never know.
That's true.
All right. So being on OWN is crazy. I just want to clarify that.
Doesn't Tyler Perry have a network too?
Like a BET. I mean, that's basically the Tyler Perry network shit.
Yeah, I guess you're right. That's all they do is just show a bunch of his reruns. I'm
and
still waiting
the originals.
I'm still waiting. Yeah, I forgot about the originals too. I'm still waiting on WWE to find a way to get a show on Pluto. Like they missing a big opportunity, because let me tell you something. I've been watching some of them TNA replays. They better get on board with that Pluto stuff.
Mm-hmm. And they kind of
Tubi. You got this culture. That's where the culture at is, Tubi.
Listen, when they fucked up, when they messed with MLW, they messed up the Tubi bag for themselves too. Like the Tubi bag free access. Like Tubi has spent some money on some great licenses for shows. Some
awful, terrible things.
I mean, there's awful made for TV movies on there, but their library, if you have missed shows you have not seen in years, like Tubi is the place to go. It's free. Mm-hmm. You can deal with ads. It's, you know, it's accommodating. The interface can be improved a little bit, but hey, if you want good free stuff that you haven't seen in a minute, it's what you need. Tubi is the way. So I just wish they didn't tamper. They could have had a bag there, but I digress. But let's get to our next match, our semi-main event for the NXT tag team titles. It was the champions for Axiom, Nathan Frazer and Axiom versus A-Town Down Under, Austin Theory and Grayson Waller. I thought this match was very good. You know, we rarely get to see A-Town Down ball in matches in WWE, and we saw a little bit of that when they faced DIY a few weeks ago on SmackDown when they lost their tag team titles to them. But I thought they were really good in this match. Nathan Frazer is too fast for his own good sometimes. Slow down a little bit, homie. But the body of the match is really good. We had a couple of fake near falls there that had us going for a bit, but the outcome was never in question as Axiom and Nathan hit their dual finisher to get the W. Really good match to set up the main event.
I agree. This was a strong tag match. That's the best team in WWE right now. They are kind of in a what now phase. You know, I know they're trying to give them a story as far as, you know, them still having the, you know, little dissension and whatnot, but it is kind of a what now. You know, do you start having them, you know, go to Raw and SmackDown and be like, yo, give us somebody? Do they go to Ava and be like, yo, we done ran through everybody. You need to give us somebody that we haven't beat yet. There's nobody we haven't beat yet, or we're just going to move up because there's nothing left for us to do. So either you find us some competition or we're going to go find some competition ourselves. That needs to kind of be the vibe and the feel. If I'm at Fraxium, if I'm booking them going forward, I'm going to give them, be like, hey, listen, we are who we are. Like, we've beaten everybody. There's no one left. So Ava, you either need to give us some competition or we need to go find some competition and we need to go have these conversations ourselves. And that way, and then you add a little intrigue, like what tag team is going to come down? Who is she going to call? What main roster team do you have come down? And now you can kind of continue that main roster trend of having a main roster act coming down to give a little boost to the NXT television show.
Yeah. And I love that. I love that synergy as well you know, to give the boost to this show. And for the most part, like, you know, it was a show that really showcased the future in a good way, which I appreciated. I'm going to talk about the future right now. The future is Javon Evans versus Randy Orton. And we made some bold claims on this show that Randy was going to deliver the most spectacular RKO we have ever seen. And we're going to get to the end. But the match itself was very good. We had Randy dominate in spots, show off his prowess as a wrestler that has been in the game for over 20 years, seasoned vet out there, know what he's doing. Javon bumped and sold beautifully, made a great comeback, hit a cutter out of nowhere after kicking the shit out of Randy. Like, Randy, I rocking that super kick legit, like, woo, that hurt. I think the first cutter could have been the one Randy countered with an RKO. Then Javon goes up top to go for pay dirt with a kind of corkscrew cutter. It did not hit. And it was supposed to be a counter into an RKO. Completely missed it. And Randy had to, you know, improvise, hit a standard RKO, get the W. Javon apologized. You can see he was really beat up about him not getting the timing right. It was both, not going to lie. If given a second opportunity, they would get it right. And that's okay. Like, Randy's in his 40s, and that corkscrew was very ambitious to land an RKO on, even for him. But it was still a nice spotlight for Javon Evans. And next week on NXT, it will be Javon and Ollie Go Ethan Page and Wesley in a triple threat with the winner facing Trick Williams at Halloween Havoc on Sunday, October 27th on Peacock. So all in all, a solid main event. I know they want that RKO back desperately, but things happen and sometimes it's unavoidable.
Nah, I think it's fine. You know, everything's not going to be smooth, and sometimes it doesn't. That's just how the cookie crumbles. And I think you let that ride. They didn't panic. Randy Orton being the pro he is, was like, nah, you get up and you take this RKO. The match was really good. I think, you know, the crowd was high for Orton. I would have loved for this to have been like a Sean Spears or somebody like that, or like a real heel, somebody that he could really get the crowd going against. Like, nobody really wanted to cheer against Evans. Yeah, they wanted to cheer for Evans, and there was a couple of hope spots. Like, the cutter, I thought he might have had him. You know, I was one who picked the upset. I thought he might have been able to pull it off, especially being in the main event. But yeah, the match was really strong. Good way to close the show. Good endorsement by Randy Orton. Another black man in the main event. Just throwing that out there. But again, real strong, and I wouldn't worry about the cutter. It happens. Nobody will remember it. The internet will try to play it up, and you're going to see these memes like, oh, Randy's supposed to be this, and NXT, somebody go back to the Performance Center. Nobody cares. The crowd didn't start chanting you up or anything like that. It was just a let's keep it moving, and they did. So solid all around.
Absolutely. And, you know, mistakes happen. I wasn't deflated by the finish. Things happen. Both guys handled it like pros, and Javon is going to be fine. And he got a lot of experience from this match. Crowd was hot for it. And I thought overall NXT was a very strong show for 2 hours. Very tight. We were in or out. Very good. And it felt like a different vibe. I'm glad they move venues. I think the arena would have been nice, but overly ambitious when it's half full. They were able to pivot, move it to the factory. Great idea. Love the setup. The intimacy was great. Look tight for the announcers because, good Lord, the action was right in their faces for Booker and Vic Joseph. But I just love the atmosphere and how the fans were there to have a good time and rock with the talent who were there. I love the atmosphere. I thought it was a strong show. And I hope that the Florida fans, may they all be safe out there for next week. If they're able to come back for NXT back at the PC, that they will offer that same energy after not being in the building for the last few weeks.
Yeah. I mean, the difference is one show's melanated and the other shows that we saw this week weren't.
And that is that on that, even though we still got Paul Levesque under a microscope. It's like probation. We're going to see for sure what you're going to do. Because we see it, But an execution on the main roster, to be determined. But progress, for sure. And with that, that's it for the big shows this week. We covered SmackDown, Bad Blood's in the books, and we'll reconvene next Wednesday talking about all things WWE. But before we go, Scott, you know, you had a tough decision when it comes to what was your favorite match of the week. I know you're not going to be facetious, but knowing you, you will be extra, so go right ahead.
Oh, I was... Listen, the only match this week that really means anything is Tony Khan and his Title Tuesday with one actual title match versus the Culture at a Sexy Red concert. So that'll be the match this week is, you know, Tony Khan versus the Culture. Does his one title match equal up to a Sexy Red performance that was interrupted by Mr. All Ego? Was that intentional? Yeah, for sure. Was the Daniel Garcia announcing his resigning during that time frame intentional? 100%. This is great. This little jabs like that, this is cool. That's my match of the week, because I am curious to see how those numbers shape up. What does Sexy... Is Sexy a draw? Because I'm going to tell you, if she's a draw, she will be back.
And she was a draw before.
She was.
She did. She moved numbers on USA before the switch. So she's proven to be a draw. AEW got a 1 hour late start because of baseball, so they don't have the advantage out the gate. They might get some help because you can flip back and forth during hour two of NXT, but I think NXT wins handily in the demo because you're on network television versus cable. That will make a difference. And there are things back on, such as hockey and the WNBA. There was a game five and the MLB playoffs as well. This is not going to be easy. And basically, when I looked at both shows head to head, yes, NXT had the advantage of the main roster talent, but the central focus still was on the future of their show. They're going to be fine. AEW, it's been a struggle in terms of regaining the magic they had from 3 years ago. And I said this on the record, nothing was ever going to top acquiring CM Punk, Bryan Danielson, Adam Cole in the span of 2 weeks. That was going to be topped. And that was when they were, that's when they were at their peak. And since that time, things have happened. Brawl out, brawl in. Things have changed. People have gotten hurt. Unfortunately, people have left the company. But that was the peak period for them. And it happens in waves. And they got their money. I'm very happy for them. $500 million company. Congrats. But their growth in the next 5 years in terms of what they can do to engage an audience that feels a little bit cooled off on them is going to be key. Packing arenas again, getting those viewership numbers up, that is going to be key. Great that you got your money. WWE did the same thing when it was rights renewals, when they was going through the lulls in the late 20-teens. Let's see what AEW does in the next 5 years to reset the table, because they do need a refresh of some sort. And maybe Tony Khan, who's taken on a lot of responsibilities, need to give up the book and delegate to other people.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the unexpected AEW sidebar of this episode, as we now put a bow on this episode of The Wrap right here on the Fake A Media Network. Hope you guys enjoyed it. As always, I want to thank my co-captain, not so perky this week, not perks, but Salty Scott Young, for adding great perspective on a topic that was needed to be discussed on this show, as well as talking about all things WWE.
Thank you for having me, Keila. As always, it's a pleasure to chop it up and talk all things WWE. We'll be back next week. And I think we'll have some good matches and some good stuff to talk about. So I'm looking forward to next week.
Me too. Should be a fun show. So until then, enjoy SmackDown coming up on Fox this Friday. I'm not on Fox USA. I got to stop saying Fox. That's a force of habit that I have. Like USA Network. USA, USA, USA for Friday Night SmackDown going down live. The fallout from Bad Blood on the Blue Brand. So we'll talk about that next Wednesday, our new day to air The Wrap, which really ties a bow for everything Monday Night Raw, NXT, and SmackDown as well, to keep you fresh and updated on all things WWE. So for myself and for Salty Scott Young, that is a wrap for this week's episode. Enjoy the rest of the week for WWE. And until next time, take care and bye-bye.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.